السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا. Welcome to المشرق on Radio Islam International. It is Thursday morning and inshallah العزيز, in our program this morning we are going to get hold of Brother Idris Khamisa and inshallah have an interesting discussion on social issues with Idris by inshallah العزيز. And yes, a lot has been happening around the world and lots of discussion on different issues. We've been talking, we've been deliberating, we've been messaging, and we've been planning and preparing for many, many different things around the world and around our lives. And it seems that time is so short, time is so scarce, that we don't find time even for ourselves, we don't find time for our families, and yes, we don't find time. There's no weekends left to make any appointments for anything because we are so busy and we are so involved. And this is a ni'mah, it is a sign of we have to make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And really we have to be thankful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with the ni'mah of freedom, the ni'mah of freedom of religion. Allah ta'ala has blessed us with the ni'mah of good health and has given us the means so that we can travel, we can eat, we can sleep, we can do many different things. And we have to really make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the face of all of this. And an important part of making shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to share with every single human being, not with only ourselves, not only in our circle, but share with every single human being. Make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by sharing with the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, we're just going to check. We have Brother Idris Khamisa on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My most beloved Maulana, I'm speaking to you from a sunny Durban. Alhamdulillah, it's always good to contact. I pray that you are well, and I pray that the subsequent years are the best years of your life, and the best moment in your life must be the day Allah calls you back.
Ameen, ameen, ameen. Idris, tell us among the social cases, basically the discussion that we have been having in this first half hour is regarding time and regarding using our time correctly, regarding the busy lives that we are having and that we are running now, and basically so occupied with so many different things that are happening, not even finding time for ourselves. And I spoke a little bit about time and about using our time productively, and perhaps you could enhance our discussion and air tweet, inshallah.
Yes, I think, you know, Maulana, I'm so glad you're talking about that. You meet any person today, they say there's no barakah in our time. But yet when you have to scrutinize how we spend our time every day, we find that a fair amount of our time is spent on inconsequential things, and we do not do things that are fundamental for existence and what our purpose is. And I think it's important. I always have with me every day, I have a diary, I try to put a priority what I need to do today. And and if you don't do that, then you would be busy doing lots of stuff, but none of it is a product. And that to me is critical. And I think that what we need to do is get a balance in our life, and part of the time should be used in terms of our relationships with our loved ones, our relationships with people at workplace and so on and so forth, and that we don't forget our purpose. And it's so important that we don't always say tomorrow we're going to do things. And and it's something that is very, very sad that sometimes even when there is a near tragedy in your own home or in the neighborhood, some of the other, it seems so difficult for us to give our total focus on these things. So time is time lost is time never regained, and it's fundamental how we utilize our time, how we maximize our time, Maulana.
Mm-hmm. And looking at the average person who is sometimes looking for things to pass time, we should look away from looking for things to pass time, but rather look for things to make our time more productive.
No, absolutely. I mean, the thing is, I think sometimes we're so caught up to satiate or satisfy our leisurely life or hedonistic life that, you know, for a true believer, he ought to be so involved in uplifting his life, uplifting the life of the Ummah. And when he says, I've got no time, I can understand that when he's spending his time meaningfully. In fact, you know, it is not, it is ironical that people say, if you want to get your work done, ask a busy person, because he understands the value of time, he'll do it immediately. But if a person leads a leisurely life, nothing is important, because he himself doesn't take his own life seriously. Why would he take your life seriously? Why would he want to fulfill an obligation that he might have made? And that is fundamental. I mean, when you look back at our own lives, people say, gosh, I can't believe it. I'm already 60 years old, 62 years old, whatever it is. I cannot account for my time. But I think when people meet with you and they say, you know, brother, I'll not forget how you made a difference to my life. Or the family says, you know, you've been an inspiration to me. You reminded me about Allah, the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you got involved in productive things. And the thing is, this is an important thing, that part of our time should be how best we can uplift the Ummah, how we can develop Ummatic consciousness. And that is fundamental. That is really fundamental. And one of the things that I've learned from my own life, which is purely anecdotal, and I find that people, whenever people ask me for help, whenever I can help them, I would help them, be it counseling, be it in any other way. If I can do it, I would do it. And I find that by doing this, alhamdulillah, Allah is so merciful. Allah gives you barakah in your time, you know, and Allah opens your rizq, you know, he opens it easy for you. Because Allah is pleased with those individuals that are using the time to help the Ummah. But then there are others who work 24/7 in their own businesses, day in and day out, day in and day out. And what you hear from them is frustration. What you hear from them, they have issues with their family. The family says, well, I have not spoke to my father. And you find the issue with the community, people don't see them at all. But then you have those who have surrendered their life to Allah, who utilize the time optimally and, you know, maximize the time. They find that, alhamdulillah, they always have a smile on their face. They have resigned, they surrendered to Allah, and there is benefit in whatever they do.
Mm-hmm. And this being so busy or being so caught up in those things that they don't even benefit.
Sorry, Molina, it's Pia.
Sorry, can you hear me at this time? Okay, it seems like it is. Hamisa cannot hear me very clearly. It is, where are you there?
I'm back. I'm Molana. They can try whatever they want to do to separate us, Molana, but ours is a true love, Molana. So we reconnected, alhamdulillah.
Yes, mashallah. Rizba, you were speaking about those people who while away their time and don't even give time to their own families. And sometimes days go by and the person hasn't really spent a quality hour with his children.
Yes, you know, Molana, that is so true. And you find that, you know, especially in this day and age, this is becoming a recurring problem. You know, whilst I can understand when people are exposed to the stresses of modernity, modern life, and when they come home, the family is pining for them. They say, Daddy never spends time with me, doesn't talk to me, doesn't play with me. And you find that these parents really, you know, they need to re-engage themselves with the children so that they can leave a meaningful legacy, that they say, you know, I understood my father, I got to know him. He was a loving individual, because what he is expected of them is no different what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to do in the family. There was no eloquent or better example than him in terms of family life, in terms of a husband, in terms of a grandfather, and all those roles he played. And yet he had the most demanding role of any prophet to spread the deen of Islam to the four corners of this earth, in which he did, you know, effectively, without compromising on other dynamics. And therefore, you find that especially, you know, in homes, when parents themselves and husbands are non-committal, they do not communicate what goes on in the heart, they expect the family to second guess, and they come home to only rest. And it's not fair on growing children, because growing children need their fatherly love. They need a father who is a me, a person who is assertive. They need that individual who really promotes through his own example the institution of marriage. They need that. You know, it's fundamental. It's not like a want. It's a real people, you know.
Well, children definitely need the attention from the parents, and you know, this is something that we have discussed many times previously, and you know, it can never be overemphasized about the attention that our children require from us. But it requires from us to manage our time, and this is perhaps the advice that we need. It is by time management and how to make sure that our time is spent correctly.
Yeah, you see, this is the point. The point is this, that we often mention on the station that our society has changed dramatically. There was a time when even non-Muslims subscribed to the universal values of Islam. The neighbor next door, whoever he was, Mr. Naidu, Mr. Murli, whatever, he himself subscribed to values of respect and so on and so forth. Now we are living in such a fragmented community that even he as Muslims, you know, sometimes your uncle may be displaying values that are antithetical to Islam. So this is the issue. The issue is that as parents, and one of the things that I recommend strongly, I say it so many times, is to develop a family routine, a routine in which your attention is focused, where you give to each of your kids, certain things. All kids want, they want affection, attention, they want, appreciation, they want acceptance. And every day you give them that aspect and you help them focus on managing their own time. And we need to do that. We need to do that. Otherwise, what will happen? That many parents, they think that some total of their responsibility is eating, clothing, and housing their children, which is something they'll get reward for. But it's far more important that we do not neglect the other critical areas, you know.
Let us take a look at some of the social issues that you've been discussing and that you've been working with over the past few weeks, and perhaps some lessons from there, inshallah.
Yes, you know, one of the issues that we need to speak about is that, you know, that more and more nowadays, it seems that divorce has become a norm. And I say to people that, you know what, when you have tried everything humanly possible and you want to separate, you must not in the process destroy your partner, the reputation, or destroy your children, because there are no winners there. And I think, you know, today it seems it smacks a lot of emotional immaturity, a negative understanding, low self-esteem, and all of those things. So that is an area. And what happens, and that by the time of separation, then the couples play one against the other. Sometimes some kids are more inclined towards the mother and the others are inclined towards the father. And that can be problematic because, this creates a lot more dissension. That's one issue I've been dealing with. The other issue I'm dealing with is that a point that I've been emphasizing for so long, and I cannot overemphasize this, that I think the ulama in this country must now make it compulsory, mandatory, that they will not perform a nikah until the couples have gone for premarital counseling and also the prospective in-laws. That's the second. The third thing that we want to mention, and it's also fundamental, is that, you know, our young boys are not growing into young men. Many of them are emasculated. Many of them only enjoy the pleasure of the world. They need to be given responsibilities, to be like young, dynamic adults. They can inspire love in their spouses. They can make decisions when they have to. And they need to, you know, so that is fundamental. And the last point that I want to make, and we can talk about these points, for me it's very, very critical, is about how we can create in our children a deep and profound love for the deen of Islam. That to me is fundamental, because if you look around, if you go to the shopping malls, you look everywhere else, it's quite clear that many of our kids do not reflect those value systems. Many of them are self-absorbed and preoccupied. So these are some of the issues that I've been dealing with, man.
Interesting. It is why that you bring up this last point. There's a message that was shared on social media, on WhatsApp, etc., by Malana Ibrahim Bam, regards to the situation in Sri Lanka, and just the gist of the message. I'm not going to go into the details of the message, but the gist of the message is that we need to, as South African Muslims, broaden our horizons in terms of our interaction with the fellow population living in our country. We need to be more inclusive and less exclusive, as the nature of our functions, as the nature of our activities usually go. It's more exclusive to Muslims, but we need to be more inclusive and more accommodating and be more interactive with every facet of society.
Yes, you know, Maulana, I'm so glad that Maulana Baum has mentioned that. This has always been my concern, that Islam is not an exclusive deen, it's inclusive, and our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came as a mercy unto all mankind. In fact, what happens when even our students go to varsity, we have what you call a ghetto mentality, you know. We Muslims are there amongst ourselves, and others do not know us. The only image they have of us is, well, Muslims, many of them are, you know, got a lot of money, they're exploiters, and so on and so forth. And as a result, you know, we must, for example, one of the natural extensive of education is dawah, that our parents ourselves need to teach us, you know, basically that when you go out in the community, how you interact with fellow humanity, you need to interact a smile. Like this morning, you know, I just left my car for service, and then there was a driver, non-Muslim driver, an indigenous person, and then behind me was another guy, and we had such a wonderful conversation about apartheid, and we laughed and whatnot. And I said to myself that at least when he goes back, if someone mentioned something about the Asians or Indians, I think he would have left today with a more favorable image because of his interaction with me. And I think this is fundamental that we need to do, that we need to make sure that, you know, we are not, because what will happen, Allah forbid, that, you know, in this country, alhamdulillah, you know, Allah's mercy has descended upon us, but almost every country, wherever there's been a minority Muslims, many of them are subjected to such kind of tyranny, and people are shocked out of their wits, I mean, and so we need to be very, very, I'm not saying must do it out of that purpose of saving our skins, but you must do it for the right reasons, because how are we expected to share with people our deen? And this is a, and I'm so glad Morna Ibrahim Babam has mentioned this point, and I subscribe to it in its entirety.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Be more inclusive, be less ostentatious also is one of the points in our lifestyle. You know, share more than what we spend on ourselves, and be more interactive with every part of society, every aspect, every type of people, and we need to become more South African, basically.
Absolutely, absolutely. In fact, you know, I mention this often, Yusuf Islam is very, very dear to me, and he was telling me one day, he says that we Muslims must not be seen as only supporting causes that affect Muslims directly. We must support all humanitarian causes. And this is important. We must be in the forefront, people of justice, people that want to rectify a wrong, people that want to improve the quality of life, no matter whose life it is, people, because we must be as a collective, as a mercy unto all mankind. So that to me is fundamental, you know.
Yes, yes, yes. And it is by us, South African Muslims, particularly if we look at our functions, look at a wedding function, look at our faith, look at most of our functions are exclusive to Muslims, and it is necessary. We're not saying that we don't have to have those functions. It is necessary to have those functions. But equally, we need to have other types of functions that include the broader society. One of the lines or one of the angles that we can look at is to use sport as a vehicle in order to promote interaction.
You know what, sports is one thing, and we'll talk about this, and as you're speaking, I'm reminded of something. If I mention it before, it's okay. You know, I do a lot of motivation and training, and I try to get access to Muslim companies so that they can support what I do, and I would support what they do. I went to a brother, and I don't mention his name. Alhamdulillah, he's running a very, very successful empire. And I said to him, what I do, he started crying immediately. He said to me, Idris, you know what? I treat all my workers as my own family. The food, and he's got a lot of people working there, you know, a good few hundred people there working, maybe, I don't know, maybe 400 or 500 people working there. He says the food that I eat on a Friday, I also give them this. There are people that are working for the last 25, 30 odd years, you know, and then, you know, you don't require any training from me at all. And this is the whole point. The point is about relationships, how you treat each other. And sports and all can be used. You know what? I must tell you this, Maulana. The point is this, you know, this attitude that people have that, you know, the attitude is everything is haram. You know, everything is haram. Haram, 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 haram. We need to be far more, you know, guarded and before we make such a dramatic statement that we need, remember, we are here. No one owes us a living here, right? We need to be here. We have a role to play. We need to do dawah. We need to interact with people. We need to treat people with dignity. And we need to do that. It's not about us doing inbreeding. So we need to use whatever vehicle that we can use, inshallah, even our radio stations, you know, getting people involved, talking to them, chatting with them, showing neighborly love, you know, appropriately, and all of this. So each one of us is a da'i in something that we have overlooked, you know.
Yes, yes, yes. And it is my final remarks, inshallah, Aziz, on this aspect of being a da'i by means of the example that we set and being South Africans at the same time.
And absolutely, Maulana, you know, you're sitting in the plane, you're sitting in the bus, wherever it is, they sound sitting next to you. Right? Let us, you know, let us engage with the people. Let's talk to them and say hello to them. Introduce yourself to them. And by us doing that, you know, then what you are doing, you are promoting the deen of Islam. It's not about you. And we don't do that, you know. And you find that we, and many people, although they are generalized about us, but much of it is based on their own life experience, that I think is fundamental that we be far more proactive, interactive, and really promote the deen of Islam, the beauty of this deen. You can do it through beautiful character, through beautiful example.
Rifai, Jazakumullah khairan for your time this morning, and inshallah, Aziz, we'll speak to you next week.
Inshallah, Ji. Jazakumullah, you go well, have a good day, right?
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Khamisa speaking to us this morning. Shukran jazeelan to you for listening to Al-Mashriq. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.